everyone. Thank you for joining us. You're listening to Mormon Channel Daily, brought to you by The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. I'm your host, Lisa Hollinger. I was recently reading an article online in the Deseret News. That's our local paper here in Utah. And it was an article talking about Elder Eldred G. Smith, and he is the longest living general authority of the church, and he died at age 106 on April 4th of this year. And the article said he's been emeritus since 1979, and emeritus in the church means that you're not currently serving as an active general authority. Elder Smith is a great-great-grandson of the martyred Hiram Smith and his first wife, Jerusha Barden Smith. He was also the seventh patriarch of the church. He presented many firesides in recent years that focused on some items from the martyrdom of the prophet Joseph Smith and his brother Hiram, treasures that were passed down from oldest son to oldest son, the article says. They included Hiram Smith's clothes that he wore when he was killed, still showing the bloodstains. Other artifacts from the Smith family included a bell, footstool, and a chest that once held the golden plates from which the Book of Mormon was translated. The article continues to say that he gave as many as 68 firesides a year, and then it quotes him as saying, "Since I got to be 102, I turned it over to the kids," and he said that back in 2009. I actually went to one of those firesides. I was reading the article, I realized back in high school, I think they held one for the kids in our area, and I remember it was really amazing. So what a neat thing he did to keep the memory of Joseph and Hiram alive, not only in his own family, but in the lives of those that he came in contact with by so many firesides in a given year. And Joseph Smith, as the first prophet of this dispensation, is somebody that we're really so grateful to for all that he did. And his brother Hiram stood right by his side the entire time, even until the very end when they both died as martyrs. The article also has a picture of President Monson, our current prophet, visiting with Elder Smith. I guess he would visit him on his birthdays. And so that's kind of sweet, I thought, a nice tribute that he gave to him as well. I wanted to talk a little bit today about receiving personal revelation and the ways that we receive it. And I wanted to start off with a quote from Elder David A. Bednar that he gave in General Conference, April 2011, from a talk entitled, "The Spirit of Revelation," and I'm going to play that for you now.
Brothers and sisters, I invite you to consider two experiences most of us have had with light. The first experience occurred as we entered a dark room and turned on a light switch. Remember how in an instant a bright flood of illumination filled the room and caused the darkness to disappear. What previously had been unseen and uncertain became clear and recognizable. This experience was characterized by immediate and intense recognition of light. The second experience took place as we watched night turning into morning. Do you recall the slow and almost imperceptible increase in light on the horizon? In contrast to turning on a light in a dark room, the light from the rising sun did not immediately burst forth. Rather, gradually and steadily, the intensity of the light increased, and the darkness of night was replaced by the radiance of morning. Eventually, the sun did dawn over the skyline, but the visual evidence of the sun's impending arrival was apparent hours before the sun actually appeared over the horizon. This experience was characterized by subtle and gradual discernment of light.
A little bit later in the talk, Elder Bednar explains the differences in the revelation that he just outlined. And so I'm going to play that part of the talk for you now.
The two experiences with light I described help us to better understand these two basic patterns of revelation. A light turned on in a dark room is like receiving a message from God quickly, completely, and all at once. Many of us have experienced this pattern of revelation as we have been given answers to sincere prayers or been provided with needed direction and protection according to God's will and timing. Descriptions of such immediate and intense manifestations are found in the scriptures, recounted in church history, and evidenced in our own lives. Indeed, these mighty miracles do occur, However, this pattern of revelation tends to be more rare than common. The gradual increase of light radiating from the rising sun is like receiving a message from God, line upon line, precept upon precept. Most frequently, revelation comes in small increments over time and is granted according to our desire, worthiness, and preparation. Such communications from Heavenly Father gradually and gently distill upon our souls as the dews from heaven. This pattern of revelation tends to be more common than rare, and is evident in the experiences of Nephi as he tried several different approaches before successfully obtaining the plates of brass from Laban. Ultimately, Nephi was led by the Spirit to Jerusalem, not knowing beforehand the things which he should do. And he did not learn how to build a ship of curious workmanship all at one time. Rather, he was shown by the Lord from time to time after what manner he should work the timbers of the ship.
I was glad to go back and reread this talk recently when I was preparing for this episode, because as I was thinking about it, I think I personally prefer light switch type of answers, ones that come immediately. But like Elder Bednar says, those are definitely more rare than common. And answers to my own prayers personally mostly come line upon line, precept upon precept. There's a Mormon message. Actually, there's three Mormon messages that they've made. It's called Patterns of Light with Elder Bednar, and explains these processes of revelation. If you haven't had a chance to check those out, please feel free to watch those on our YouTube channel or on our website under Mormon Messages. And it's again called Patterns of Light. But it's a great reminder to us that we expect answers sometimes from our Father in Heaven all at once, but they often come in incremental pieces over a period of time. Along these same lines of receiving revelation, I wanted to close with a football story from Elder Alan F. Packer, and he's in the First Quorum of the 70. He's the son to President Boyd K. Packer, who's the president of the Quorum of the 12 Apostles. But it's a story that Elder Alan F. Packer told several years ago. It's always kind of stayed with me, and I've thought of it over the years. And not only does it make me smile, but it also illustrates a great point. So I'm going to play that for you in his own words now.
When I was a young man in high school, one of my passions was American football. I played middle linebacker. The coach worked the team hard to teach us basics. We practiced until those skills became natural and automatic. During one play against our biggest rival, I had an experience that has helped me over the years. We were on defense. I knew my assigned opponent and was, as the play unfolded, he moved to my right into the line of scrimmage. There was a lot of noise from players and fans. I reacted as the coach had taught us and followed my man into the line, not knowing if he had the ball. To my surprise, I felt the ball partially in my hands. I gave it a tug, but he didn't let go. As we tugged back and forth amid the noise, I heard a voice yelling, "Packer, tackle him!" That was enough to bring me to my senses, so I dropped him on the spot. I have wondered how I heard that voice above all the other noise. I had become acquainted with the voice of the coach during the practices, and I had learned to trust it. I knew that what he taught worked. We need to be acquainted with the promptings of the Holy Ghost. We need to practice and apply gospel principles until they become natural and automatic. These promptings become the foundation of our testimonies. When then our testimonies can keep us happy and safe in troubled times.
I love that story from Elder Packer, because I think sometimes in our lives we can be so busy that sometimes the Holy Ghost might be trying to tell us something that we need to know, and we might not be listening. But in troubled or chaotic times, we can listen to the voice of the coach, and we can train ourselves to listen to his counsel and promptings and even immediate instructions if it's needed at that time. And more than that, we can trust it and know that it will never lead us astray. I hope this has been helpful to you. It's certainly been fun for me as I've been studying about Revelation. But I thank you so much for joining us today. If you have any suggestions or comments or inspirational stories you'd like to share with me, please feel free to email me, mormonchanneldaily@ldschurch.org, or you can send us an email on Facebook or post on the Facebook wall as well. I'm grateful for your comments and stories and excited to start sharing more of them with you because they are starting to come in. This has been another episode of Mormon Channel Daily, brought to you by The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. And the song of the day that I'd like to leave you with today is called He Hears Me, featuring David Osmond. Thanks again for listening and have a wonderful day.
Here I am again, down on my knees, and with every pleading word, thy comfort I seek. Though the words are slow to come, my thoughts are racing by. Peace fills the room, thy spirit is nigh. He hears me when I'm crying in the night. He hears me when my soul longs to fight, till the morning will come and the light of the dawn. Silence of an empty room, or on a crowded street, whether offering thanks or in urgency I pray, I never go unnoticed. I'm never He